Hello there, this is Terry Denise, a Lansing Community College student and your host of Ripper, an LCC Connect podcast where I interview others and ask about their unique efforts and connections in, around, and beyond the community of Michigan's capital city. Well, hello. This is Terry Denise, or Teden, and this is Ripper, and I have a special guest who is...
Dedalion Lowry.
Dedalion, how is it going today?
It is going well.
All right. So, what is your official title?
I usually refer to myself as the general manager of LCC Connect. I'm also the station manager for WLNZ and the TV station here at LCC, too.
So, you are a lot of things, actually. There's not just one title.
They're all kind of interconnected, but yeah, I do different things.
Did you also teach here at any point?
I have never been a teacher itself. No.
Okay. Why not?
Just had never gone down that road.
No?
I was part-time for the longest time here at LCC. And then it was 2013 when my predecessor, Dave Downing, he was the former station manager here at WLNZ. And when he retired, it was funny because I was actually trying to get out of radio at that time. But when he retired, the opportunity came. And yeah, I was asked to fill in for the interim. And then eventually I decided, you know what? I'm really digging being a part of radio again. Okay, I'm back on board. And so I applied for the job then.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we get from WLNZ. For those that don't know, WLNZ is an FM radio station that ran out of LCC. It's still a station.
It still is, and it's still owned by Lansing Community College. That gets to be a little bit confusing, and I understand that from being on the outside. Most of the programming you're going to hear on 89.7 is going to be WUOM, which is Michigan Public.
Okay.
And so that gets a little bit confusing for people. But when the transition happened, Dr. Robinson made a point to still kind of make sure that Lansing Community College, and I should say the board and all the other folks that were involved, made sure that the licensing still stayed with Lansing Community College.
Oh, that's great. Is it difficult to keep a license for radio?
You know, I don't know really how to answer that because there's many avenues when you're talking about dealing with the Federal Communications Commission. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just different avenues where there's certain things you have to do, like maintaining a public file, I think is the easiest example I can give you. And that means that you have to take documentation, constantly make sure that it's, you know, correct, accurate, and updated.
Okay.
So in that sense, maintaining a license, yeah, could be difficult. Beyond that, you know, there's so many facets to it that
right.
I don't even know that we would have time to cover it all.
So an important thing about making sure that the licensing is not revoked or anything like that is just to make sure that you're following FCC standards and guidelines.
Following FCC guidelines is a major thing. And what you're going to find is it's going to be different whether you're nonprofit versus a profit station. The ones that I've worked for here in Lansing were like WFMK. I worked at WJXQ, okay. Also at WVIC back in the day.
WVIC.
So, yes. But mine was like post that. So anyway, the point is that, you know, the rules that they follow are going to be different than the rules, say, we follow here at WLNZ. Ours is a nonprofit radio station. As a nonprofit radio station, you don't get advertisers. You get sponsorship and you get underwriters. And those underwriters and sponsorships, they have to follow a certain guideline when they're putting their message out there. So I can't do, you know, come on down and buy our used cars. You can't do that with nonprofit radio. But you can say, such and such dealership sponsors the program of Ripper, and then you kind of can give some information. So it's just a different approach. But if you were to violate that, yes, you could lose your broadcast license.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know. Starting out. So are there different protocols to follow for podcasting versus radio as far as guidelines?
So our podcasts are a little bit different in the fact that they are also part of a radio program for WLNZ. A typical podcast, though, no. There aren't any regulations, as far as I am aware, of you know, say if you wanted somebody to sponsor your show, I think you can pretty much insert it just like an ad. Mm-hmm. Again, that I'm not aware of.
Well, it sounds like you have enough of your career that has been in this area of work. So you, it's...
For broadcasting, yes. What's different for me, though, is the podcast side. So the podcasting, when we started that back in 22, I've been learning as I go in some ways. But it doesn't mean, you know, I have been on podcasts before as a guest, but it was never in this capacity where I'm producing and creating and developing podcasts all the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's a huge part of what you are doing right now. You just said that you were a guest on different podcasts before. It seems like you interview a lot of different people, and I was wondering if you ever get a chance to be a guest and talk about yourself.
Oddly enough, yes, I have. In some ways, I think it is because people kind of get to know me as they're creating their podcasts. So very often I've been asked to be the guest because, you know, people tend to get comfortable with me and they understand that, you know, I'm here to help them do what they're doing. I have been on Lisa Alexander's podcast, Who's That Star? So she does a podcast for us that talks with people here around the college. Mm-hmm. And when she began that show, I was doing everything I could to encourage her and let her know, you've got this. So I was her very first guest. And then front row backstage with Greg Trimmer. So,
oh, excellent.
Yeah. And then there's other times that I show up. So
I just out of the blue
sometimes. And then sometimes you'll hear me like Stars on Sports and A Psycho Delicious Conversation. I often am in the studio producing the actual episode. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, occasionally the hosts will bounce off me thoughts or ideas. And so I jump on.
So they literally just pull you into the room and are like, I need you.
Yes.
All right.
Very much. Well, I mean, I'm in the room. And then they're like, well, the Delian's here, so let's ask him a question.
That's excellent. Okay, and we're going to go back here a little bit. I wanted to get an idea of where, if you are comfortable enough answering questions about where you're from and...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Originally from Mason, so Mason, Michigan.
Okay.
20 minutes outside of Lansing.
For Bulldogs.
For anybody not familiar with the area. Even back then, I had an interest in radio. We didn't really have that type of thing in Mason back in those days. Yeah, I grew up there and then went to Michigan State University, graduated from there with an advertising degree.
Okay.
Honestly, really didn't do much with my advertising degree because it really wasn't the degree for me when I was going to college. I just chose it because I was expected to go to college. And it's funny because as I have been here at LCC, very often you're going to hear conversations with like advisors and everybody else that's here now. And I wish I had that support when I was going to college. Anyway, so went through the program, got done, didn't do anything with my degree, worked as a bar manager, like I said, club DJing. I would do weddings, event DJs. All sorts of things.
Okay.
Bartending and everything else. So
pause.
I did that for the longest time. Go ahead.
Let's pause here. I'm very interested in what bars you were working at around the area.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, there's been several bars. Most of them are shut down now.
Okay.
The main one I worked at for the longest time and where I got most of my experience was Roxy's, which used to be this club on the west side of Lansing. Were you familiar with it?
No. What was it? How was it spelled?
It was Roxy's, R-O-X-Y.
Okay.
And then apostrophe S. And then it was on the west side of town, inside the Best Western that used to be over on that side of town.
By Horrocks.
Next to Grand Ledge. It was actually kitty corner from Horrocks.
So, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's down there now? There's like
the Outback Steakhouse and some other stuff. Yeah.
So there was a whole different kind of setup.
It was
in that area.
That whole thing was a hotel called the Best Western Midway Hotel.
Okay.
And there was a restaurant in there and there was a bar. and that nightclub that was in there. Mm-hmm. I was the manager of that for many, many years, as well as a DJ and bartender, and just did all sorts of stuff there.
Okay, so you often are in the realms of multitasking.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not the greatest multitasker. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not.
No.
No, but you, yeah, it seems like jobs I fall into, yeah, it's a lot of multitasking.
What? How? Okay, so... So, okay.
Not only that, but there was points where, you know, I would have to not only bartend, but manage, and then sometimes in some capacity, DJ all at once.
All in the same night.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. It was kind of an interesting setup sometimes.
What a facilitating kind of person. Did you work at any of the MSU area bars at all? Anything like
that? I didn't really work in East Lansing at all. Okay. Most of the stuff, it's like I said, most of these are gone now. So,
well, ones I was going to see if you were familiar with or if you ever had worked at, one was Sneakers.
I remember Sneakers, but no, I didn't want work at that.
No. Okay. And then the other one was Sparties.
Sparties, I got kicked out of there one time, yeah, actually.
Okay, tell the story.
Yeah, No. Well, the funny thing is I got kicked out of there for, and I was underage at the time.
Wasn't everybody underage?
Underage, I meant like I was between 18 and 21, but okay. 18 was allowed in there.
Yes.
And I hadn't been drinking, but I was a very wild dancer. Like, I'm not kidding you. I was just... And I know, as I look back now, you know, I was probably out of control at times. But, you know, if you remember In Living Color, the TV show.
Yes.
And all the dancing they did on there, and like MC Hammer, he came along. Mm-hmm. So I did like really crazy dancing. Like, I would do splits and all these different things.
Oh, my gosh.
And
what?
And he was, the bouncer was convinced that I had been drinking. And that's the thing, is I had not been drinking.
Okay.
But he was just like, because of the way I was dancing, he's like, you're out of here. Okay. I'm like, come on.
I'm so sorry.
It was ridiculous. It seriously was. I don't know that I've ever told anybody that story. So, other than the people that were with me that night, I don't know that anybody really knew.
Witnesses. Well, we are.
So way to rip it out of me.
That's what I'm here to do. Justifying all of your innocence right now. This is justification for kicking you out of Sparties.
I suppose so.
You know, there's so all the stories that I heard about Sparties. I was not allowed to go there, of course. But for all of the stories that I've heard, that does not compare to anything for people that should have been kicked out of the club a long time ago for various things that took place.
I'm going to go back to what you originally asked. Because actually, technically speaking, I did DJ at Sparties.
You did?
In a way, okay. But it was a different thing. I'm trying to remember the name of the place. Again, it shut down.
You mean it was a different bar?
It was Green Dot Stables last, but before that, it was the... Oh, my goodness.
No, you're right.
Whiskey Barrel?
Yes.
Whiskey Barrel.
There was the Whiskey Barrel, and then there was, I should know this because I know the people that were running it. It was the one between that and Green Dot as well, but Whiskey Barrel Saloon. Yeah.
So I used to DJ there.
Yes, okay.
When it was a country bar, and then also, I think it was Wednesday nights was more, Wednesdays or Thursday, I used to DJ those nights when all the students from MSU, for some reason, went there.
Well, it's right next to, it's off of campus.
Right, but they weren't typically there on a, say, Saturday. I'm not going to say that some of them didn't show up, but it was a night that was supposed to be geared towards them.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I can't remember what they called it, but it was like college night or something like that.
Sure, that makes sense.
You know, and so that night was always the busiest.
Okay. What's like your DJ sets usually? Or do you have a very, like you have a very eclectic kind of set of things that you do, obviously.
I have an eclectic taste in music.
Okay, I was going to ask if that's parallel to what you're into. So what do you like to play then?
I mean, I don't ever specifically play anything. I very much try to read the crowd.
Okay.
And play to the crowd. Always do that every time.
Yep.
I've DJed a lot of weddings over the years. Mm-hmm. And weddings are interesting in that you will have everybody from your 13-year-old cousin to your 87-year-old grandma.
Okay.
So you have to figure out a way to make that work. Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting trying to come up with a playlist that accommodates that wide of an age range. And I suppose I had always come up with a way where you kind of play the older stuff at the beginning and as you go, you know, and the older folks start to move on, then you start to get to the younger music. And that's kind of how it's always worked for me.
That sounds
but I don't specifically I don't have go-to type
playlists.
No. Yeah, I very much play off the cuff and whatever it is I feel like, you know, as I read the room.
That's actually refreshing. So you don't have just like a button that you push and you're like, this is my number three playlist for the standard.
Absolutely never.
That's really cool. What are three typical songs that you would play for?
You know, there are certain ones that they've always been go-tos. And I say that because it's typically anytime you play them, if they're enjoying themselves, they want people to dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what made my time go faster. I absolutely cannot stand the Cupid Shuffle.
Okay. Oh, what?
But anytime somebody wants me to play it, I will play it. Okay. Well, and the only reason I don't like it is just because I've DJed for so many years that I have heard it so many times. The app I use actually tells you how many times you've played it, and that one is always at the top.
Sure.
Even though myself, you know, on my own personal time, I've never listened to the Cupid Shuffle. I don't want to hear it. I've heard it too many times. But the Cupid Shuffle, Cha-Cha Slide, anything like that, participation dance, I'm always about playing.
Okay.
I will say that the Black Eyed Peas, Bruno Mars, those types of performers typically get played quite a bit at most anything I do. And I'm not really giving you three specific songs. I'm actually giving you artists, and I know that, but
no,
that's the easier way to do it.
Sure. Honestly, I was expecting to hear the chicken dance.
Oh, yeah. Well, for weddings, that's another participation dance, and it's also another one that I do not want to hear again in my life if I can help it. But I will, and I know that. The one that I always find interesting is when I get a rock and roll crowd and you have to figure out what songs work best for them.
Okay.
Because rock and roll does not necessarily always like translate to, hey, this is danceable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got your You Shook Me All Night Long. That's always a go-to. You've always got the Locomotion, Grand Funk Railroad version.
Oh.
The Little Eva version is probably my preferred version.
The one from the 80s?
Yeah. No, the one from the, No, that was, I can't even think of who that was now.
It wasn't Kylie Minogue, was it?
No, I was thinking that's who came to my brain, but, and we may be right.
Okay.
Yeah, we may be right. We'd have to look it up. I'm not going to multitask that.
I'll do that later.
Anyway, that's kind of the way I approach it.
All right.
That was the long way around to getting to what you were asking.
No problem. All right. Well, thank you for going into that area. So you said you went to Mason, grew up in Mason.
Yeah.
What at all interested you in radio? Did you have like a ham radio growing up or anything?
No, I didn't really. What really kind of got me interested back then was there was like this kind of DJ war between Rich Michaels and Tim Barron.
Rich Michaels. That is not a name I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. The two of them kind of used to go back and forth. Rich was on WVIC back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Which was that was the oldie station, wasn't it?
Back then, it was more contemporary hit is what you would call it. So it was back in the 80s.
Okay.
And then Tim would be on Q106.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was, if they were goofing around or what, but they would just kind of rip on each other back and forth. And it was kind of that war that had me going, this is kind of fun.
Okay.
This seems like this would be fun. And so I got into it, but that was the thing is I didn't really follow that path right away. I didn't follow that path until I got to about well after college. And there was a point where when I was managing the bar, I was just done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to return to school and I came to Lansing Community College for radio. Specifically.
Okay, so you did actually go to LCC as well.
Well, I started in the media technology program, but I got a job before I finished the program.
Oh.
So I never ended up getting a degree in that area.
Okay, so because, yeah, why would you? You're already working.
I was already doing it. But the problem is a number of people that went through that program also did the same thing. So that program had a hard time showing a graduation rate and actually showing that, look, these guys are actually getting jobs, which we were.
Mm-hmm.
We were just doing it to the point where we already had the job, didn't need the degree, And so we just never finished it. And it's unfortunate. But
interesting.
That happens. And then later on, I got tired of radio and decided I wanted to get into graphic design. So then I did actually get a second degree in graphic design here at LCC.
Okay. So the rivalry was, it was definitely a great play for other audience listeners as well then, possibly.
I mean, I assume, you know, that it was just something that they did back in the day. It
kept people interested.
Because you don't hear it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't hear the rivalries. I don't hear the competition of these guys suck and we're awesome.
Okay, so it was straight up like those kinds of things being said. It's ridiculous. In the radio voice. So we do see a lot of podcast rivalries nowadays because people get so personal into their lives on podcasts. Do you see any of that happening for anything like that too?
What's, say it again?
Any kind of podcast rivalries?
Oh, no, 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 not here at LCC Connect anyway. No. You know, I kind of approach what we do here in the same fashion that I did the radio station. And that is, we kind of just do our own thing. We're here to support the community, our students, our staff, our faculty. That's what we do.
Excellent.
Here at LCC Connect. So,
all right. So, okay. No, no ripper sucks kind of a thing unless I say it, right? Yeah. I can say it.
You can say it.
Okay. Perfect. Self deprecation.
Yeah, there's not a lot of rivalry between our podcasts at all. In fact, everybody's very supportive of each other.
That's great. That's nice to know. What brought you out of not wanting to be in radio anymore around 2013? What was going on?
Well, my life looked a little different at that time. Mm-hmm. When you're in radio, in order to advance, you need to be able to pick up, go to a different city if need be. I mean, you're talking about Lansing. I don't know where we are now, but we used to be 110 or 120, I think, at the time that I was in the market. And by that, I mean, you're talking about population level.
Okay.
So we used to be like at 110 or 112. You're talking about Chicago, LA, New York, you know, the big cities, that's Seattle, you know, top 10 right there. Mm-hmm. And really, in order for you to advance, you need to be able to pick up, move on to a bigger market. Mm-hmm. Well, at the time that I was in radio, I had gotten married and I had a stepdaughter. And it was one of those things where picking up a family and moving them wasn't really feasible. So I decided it was time to reevaluate the direction I was going because I wasn't going to get too much further than where I was in Lansing radio. And so I decided graphic design.
Sure.
Because I already had the advertising degree. It kind of sort of fit. And at the same time, I absolutely love doing artwork.
Okay.
So it was one of those things that I decided I was going to get into graphic design. I did that for quite a while here at the college. Really. I did it for 4 years. And then, like I said, my predecessor, he retired. So I said, yep, I'm back in radio.
Okay. And then you...
And I should say by that time, I'd gone through a divorce. So, you know, there was really no reason for me not to get back into radio.
Okay. So I'm sorry. And but to bring you back around to the you brought graphic design in as an additional tool that you have now.
Yes.
So you put in a lot of work into what you do.
I do.
I want to say thank you, first of all, because I can tell that all of the things that you do, it's beyond passion project, obviously.
Yeah, it's a love. Actually, I would call it more of a love for the people that I work with than it is a passion project, really. I mean, it's the people. It's the same thing that I went through with LCC Radio, where I would see I'm going to give a student example. I remember one student who came in, and when I came back to the station, a lot of the students weren't on air at all. Mm-hmm. So they weren't on a microphone. They weren't doing anything live. They were doing what we call in the radio world voice tracking. That's a pre-recorded show, basically.
Okay.
So I encouraged them all to get on the microphone to do live shows on the station. I had one person that was very reluctant. Oh. Really kind of gave me a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. But I sat in with her on a couple of shows, and then after a while, she just got a little more comfortable. by the time I was done at LCC Radio with her, I had her up on a stage talking in front of thousands of people. And that's partly what I like to see. I like to see that confidence building that most people are going to go through. Even the most confident of people, after they've been doing podcasting or broadcasting or anything like that, mm-hmm. I see them get even more confident.
So that's very interesting that you actually point that out, because with DJing, you said that you like to see that people are getting out there and getting together and having a good time. So you have this real natural ability to encourage people to get
out of their comfort zone,
to get out of their comfort zone and into a much better headspace where they're not even thinking anymore. They're just doing, correct?
Yes. And if I could learn to do that with myself more often, it would be awesome.
Isn't that's the muse's paradox, isn't it?
I suppose so. We'll call it that.
I actually wanted to ask you about your name.
Yeah.
Before I go into asking you about your name origin, I'm just going to head off here and make sure that...
We're getting low on time. That's what you're trying to say, right?
Yes, that I marked the time.
Is it a little difficult talking to the guy that's going to edit your show and tell you, I got to cut this out, got to cut this out?
Going to cut it out. I'm going to cut a part of these down into two parts, actually. So So thank you for joining, by the way. We'll be back here again for the second parter with Dedalian Lowry. So stay tuned and we'll be back. Thanks for tuning in to Ripper. You can find more about this and other LCC Connect podcasts at lccconnect.com.